your seat. As you're taking your seat, turn to your neighbor and say, I am so glad that you are here this morning. Come on. Yes. Yes. Now look to the neighbor that you completely ignored and say, I believe God has a word this morning. Come on now. Yes. Man, my name is Brandon Sparks, if you all do not know who I am, and I am on staff here at Better Life Church, and man, I'm telling you what, we have the best leadership and the best pastors here at Better Life Church, and yes, that's right, man, I'm telling you what, Pastor Daniel and his wife Leanne do just such an amazing job. Can we give it up for Pastor Daniel? Yes, week in and week out, man, and this morning, I am just honored to be up here and just share what God has put on my heart. Honestly, I didn't plan on preaching this message. I planned on doing another message, but God had other plans, and his plans are greater than my plans, so I said I'm going to do it. So this morning, we're going to be in Job chapter 1. So if you have your Bible, turn to Job chapter 1, or turn on your phone and get to Job chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 1 this morning. In Job chapter 1, verse 1, it starts off and it says, in the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. And one day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? And Satan answered, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Then Satan comes back and he says, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord, and one day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the older brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby. And the Sabians attacked and made off with them. They put the servant to the sword, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was speaking, another messenger came and said to him, the fire from God fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. And even while he was speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the older brother's house when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house. It collapsed on them and they are dead. I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship. He fell to the ground in worship and he said, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all of this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Then we see in chapter 2, kind of the same thing happens, that Satan comes with the angels and presents himself before the Lord, and the Lord asks him those questions again. And then we skip down to verse 4 here. And Satan says to him, skin for skin, a man will give all he has for his own life. But now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord, afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of the broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. He replied, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all of this, Job did not sin. And what he said. This morning, church, I come to you and I just bring you God's word and what I believe God wants me to share with you this morning. And I think that we can all agree that Job had a very tough day. A day that I can't even begin to imagine the pain that he experienced. But it was how Job handled this pain that sets him apart. The title of the message today is called In Dust and Ashes. In Dust and Ashes. Come on, let's pray. God, just come to you right now. Just thank you so much, God, for your presence, for your Holy Spirit being here and just moving already this morning. God, I just pray that you'll continue to move and just speak to us this morning, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. Now, I do have a question before we jump into the message. I do have a question for all of us here this morning. And I'm being real. This question, honestly, sometimes can be hard to answer for ourselves. It can be. But I'm going to ask you for just the next few moments. Don't worry about who's to your right or your left, who's in front of you or behind you, or what's going on outside of these doors. But I'm going to ask you just to sit in this moment with God and be honest with him and be honest with yourself this morning. The question I had this morning, and I'm going to ask you to participate in this if you would not mind, is if you wouldn't mind, please raise your hand if you have ever been through a trial or faced troubles or have been in pain before in your life. Just raise your hand. My hand is raised as well. I think we see as we look around, I think it's very obvious that, yeah, we all go through hard times in our life. There are troubles, there are trials, there are tests in our life. And we've all experienced pain in one way or another. But I don't think the question that we have this morning is, will I face trials? No, I think the question that we have this morning is, what do I do when trials come? What do I do when trials come in my life and I experience this pain and I experience these trials and I experience these tests that I have no clue what's going on? How can I handle them? Because Brandon, honestly, it doesn't seem like I've been handling them the right way. See, and for me, I can say I honestly didn't handle it the right way either. I've been through hard times in my life, and there have been times I wish, man, I could go back and handle it a different way. But as I go through these trials and these tests and hard times in my life, God spoke to me through the book of Job and how Job handled the trials that were thrown his way. See, that is where Job was set apart, and God began to speak to me and say, Brandon, just look at Job. Just look at Job. He lost everything that he had. And I can't imagine even losing my children and the pain that he went through. And he said, just look at Job. And I started looking through the book of Job, and in this first chapter here in verse 20, It says that Job fell to his knees in worship. Job fell to his knees in worship. And honestly, whenever I first read it, it really didn't make sense to me. And I was like, why would he fall to his knees in worship? He lost literally everything he had, even his children. Why would he fall to his knees in worship? See, it would have made sense to me if it would have said that Job fell to his knees in pain. Job fell to his knees because he was hurting. Job fell to his knees because he was in shock. But it doesn't say that. It said Job fell to his knees in worship. And that's when God began to speak to me and show me, Brandon, whenever these hard times come, whenever these trials come, whenever these tests arise up, the pain that you're going through isn't useless. Your pain has a purpose. And Brandon, you need to turn your pain into praise. You need to turn your pain into praise. See, because I think a lot of times that our pain really ends up controlling us. Our pain then leads to certain feelings and we begin to feel certain ways. We begin to feel alone. We begin to feel stressed out. We begin to feel worried. We begin to feel like God is mad at us. We begin to have these feelings creep into our lives. And then I notice, even though I'm sure Job had these feelings, and he hurt, and I'm sure he had questions, and I'm sure there were times where he didn't understand. But Job didn't let his pain control him. Job didn't allow his feelings to control him. Instead, Job took the feelings and turned them to faith. And I want to encourage you this morning, whatever you're going through, no matter what feelings that you may have and what circumstance that you may be in, turn your feelings into faith. I think we live in a society, in a culture where it's normal just to be like, well, I feel this way, so I'm going to do this. I don't feel like it's that bad, so I'm going to do this. Well, I feel like this, I feel like that. We need to stop feeling and start faithing. Whenever we go through a trial, whenever we go through a test in our life and we don't understand it and we're walking the walk with Jesus and we don't understand it and we're taking those steps, God, I don't get it. I feel like I'm going to fall off. God, I feel like this doesn't make sense. I say, no, I'm going to stop feeling and I'm going to start faithing because you hold my tomorrow and your plans are perfect, not mine. And I begin to turn my feelings into faith. See, a lot of times these feelings, they control us so much but it's what Jesus says that will set you free from them. See, these feelings are a lot of times just lies from the enemy. You're alone. You're doing this by yourself. You can't get through it. God's mad at you. God's upset with you. And he will lie to you to get you to believe this. But whenever you know the truth to these lies, the truth will then set you free. And whenever the enemy tells you you're alone, you say, no, God said he will never leave me nor forsake me. He's going to walk right with me throughout the trials. God is right here. Whenever he says God is mad at you, no, God is mad about me. He is so mad about me that he sent his son to die for me. Turn those feelings into faith. Now, I'm sure there's some of you all here who are thinking, Brandon, that's awesome. That'll preach. Good job. But you're only 24 years old. You don't get it. You don't understand. You don't know the pain that I've gone through. Whenever my husband or my wife has walked out on me, you don't understand the pain and the loneliness that I felt. Brandon, you don't know what it's like to lose a child. Brandon, you don't understand what it's like to have your baby in a hospital for weeks with no answers. Maybe I don't, but I believe God has used some tests that I've gone through in my life where I've experienced pain and I've experienced loneliness and all of these feelings around me. And he's used these tests for a purpose. And if I could sum up this whole message in one point, and if you don't get anything else out of it, I want you to know that there is purpose behind your pain. And I found out that there was a purpose behind my pain. And the test that I went through wasn't meaningless, but that God was doing something through me. See, a lot of times I think that we're very selfish with what happens in our life. Why am I going through this? Why do I feel this way? Why would God do this to me? And God began to reveal to me and humble me and break me down and say, Brandon, no, it's not just about you, but it's for those around you. And I want to encourage you that maybe something that you're going through or have been going through, or maybe it was even years ago, that it wasn't just for you, but it was also for those around you, so that whenever people come up to you and say, how did you do it? How did you get through it? You say, oh no, it wasn't me, but it was God through me that got me through it. So your story then begins to show God's glory. See, the test, the trial that you're going through isn't meaningless. But rather, I'm going to ask you to turn your test into a testimony so that others around you can see God and how loving and how caring he truly is. I remember going through these tests, and honestly, it didn't make sense to me. I didn't get it. Especially the very first time that I went through a hard time, I did not understand it at all. I was 8 years old. My best friend Nick was 7. I remember waking up for school one morning and my mom telling me that we weren't going to school today, that Nick was sick. Honestly, I couldn't believe it because she rarely let me miss school when I was sick, let alone someone else. But she said, Nick is sick. We're not going to school. Okay. I remember growing up and just thinking, Nick's sick. He's sick, but it'll be okay. He'll get over it. He's sick. Doctor will fix it. As I got older, I then learned that Nick had cancer. He had a brain tumor. And I didn't fully understand it. I still thought, oh, he's just sick. But the more and more times that I went up to Columbus Children's Hospital with him, the more serious that I found out it was. But through every step of the way, I still believed in God. I did, every step. Everyone around him was praying. I was praying. He'll be better. He'll be better. I remember the treatments he had to go through, the pain he experienced. Then I remember I was 12 years old whenever I got one of the best phone calls of my life, and they said, Brandon, Nick is cancer-free. And man, was it easy to praise God then. He was cancer-free. I was 12, and we started playing football together, started playing basketball together. His hair started growing back. My best friend. I remember one night I was with my mom, my sister, and Nick, and we were running back across some soccer fields. We went to McDonald's, and it was storming out. I remember it like it was yesterday. We were running across trying to beat the storm, and Nick looked at me, and he was like, bro, let's just walk. It's like, man, it's storming out. We got to go. He's like, let's just walk back. It's like, all right, we'll walk. We walked back and got to his house. I remember he was a little tired. Not long after, he went to the eye doctor. The eye doctor sent him back up to Columbus Children's Hospital to get his checkup, and they found out that the tumors were back, the cancer was back. I didn't understand it. I thought he was fine. He was sick, and now he's better. How is he sick with that again? They got it all. How? I went through pain. I didn't understand it. I didn't get it. But I still believed. All right, all we got to do is just pray again and just be there for him, and he'll be okay. He'll be okay. I remember the endless trips it would take back and forth to Columbus. Then I remember the day he said, man, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to take any more treatments. I'm tired of being sick. I remember he stopped taking the treatments, but I still believe he'll be okay. He'll be okay. Then one morning I was going to basketball practice, and I was about halfway there, and I had called and checked on Nick that morning, make sure everything was good. They said, yeah, everything's good. We'll call you back. And I remember getting one of the worst calls of my life at that point. They said, Brandon, Nick's passed away. We want you to come home and just spend some moments with him. I'll never forget the pain, the loneliness, the feelings that I experienced through that. I felt numb going home. I sat there with him, told him I'd see him again. And I left there with so many questions. I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. There was pain, feelings of loneliness and oppression, and worry. Feelings that I thought God was mad at me or disappointed in me, or God, did I do something wrong? Is there something more that I could have done? I remember all of those feelings. Then I remember going to the funeral, and a lot of times I keep stuff in, and I remember I hadn't really talked to anyone about it. But I remember at the funeral afterwards, I still had questions. God, why didn't you heal Nick? God, why didn't you heal Nick? I prayed that you would heal Nick. God, why didn't you heal Nick? Those were the exact words that went through my head. That was the exact words that I would pray. God, heal Nick. Heal Nick. Heal Nick. And I remember after the funeral, and I don't know how they did it, but his mom and dad came up to me. They were smiling. They hugged me. I said, Brandon, Nick is healed. He's not sick. He's not in pain. There's no more treatments. He is healed. I remember leaving there that day thinking, man, if they can praise God through this pain, I can too. If they can have faith, I can too. If the test that they've gone through can now be their testimony, it can be mine too. And I grew up, and man, it was my testimony, and here I am preaching it today. But I want you to know that I'm not just preaching it to you, but I'm preaching it to myself as well. A month and a half ago or so, got a phone call that my one-year-old nephew, little ball of joy, was having some seizures and some episodes, and they thought that it may be a brain tumor. I remember driving right back up to Columbus Children's Hospital, having the same emotions that I had growing up with Nick, going to the same place and having questions, but being reminded that Brandon, just praise me through this pain. Don't let your feelings control you, but faith it. Brandon, I'm going to use this one day. The test you're going through now, I'm going to use it one day. Your pain has purpose. I remember a couple weeks later getting a phone call that said, Brandon, he doesn't have a brain tumor. It's just a rare form of seizures. I praise God for it. And honestly, throughout this year, if I can just open up to you all for a minute, it's been a hard year. It's been tough. And honestly, throughout the whole year, I feel like I've been walking through a valley of shadows. Whenever I got the good news, I thought maybe, just maybe, I'll be in the mountaintop soon. God, thank you so much. It wasn't a week later, I get a phone call. My little cousin, Daxton, not even 1 year old yet, they found a brain tumor on him. He went up to Columbus Children's Hospital, just like Nick and Becca. Those emotions fled in. And I remember getting the phone call that said, it's stage 4 cancer. I remember the thoughts and the emotions that flooded my mind. But I remembered that even though the circumstances changed, my God didn't. My God was still good in the bad times. He's still good in the good times. He's still good in the hard times. That He remained the same. And I don't know what Daxton's future holds, but I do know the one that holds his future. And I'm going to take the pain that I've gone through, and I'm going to turn it into praise to God. I'm going to take the feelings that I experience, and I'm going to turn it into faith, even whenever I don't understand it. And the test that I'm going through right now, it will one day be my testimony to share the love of Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here this morning and you've gone through these hard times. And maybe you don't understand everything that's gone on. And it feels like you've been in that constant shadow. And you're just walking through the shadow. You're just walking through the darkness. But I want you to know, for there to be a shadow, there has to be a light. And His name is Jesus. So I want to encourage you this morning to keep praising, to keep faithing, just trust God with every step that you have. Well, Brandon, I don't get it. Brandon, I feel so alone. I don't understand it. But I want you to know that you're not alone. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Jesus walked through the fire with them, and He wants to walk through the fire with you. And He was there with you every step of the way. Reading through Job's story, I went down and it was in chapter 42. I believe it was the last verse of that chapter. He says, therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. God began to speak to me through this verse, in dust and ashes. And I dug deeper into it and I noticed that dust back then meant nothing. It was as low could get. It was nothing. It was useless. And I want you to see that Job humbled himself to nothing to let Jesus have everything. And I want to ask you this morning, will you give Jesus your everything? All the pain, all the loneliness, the worry, the anxiety. Will you give every single thing that you have over to Jesus? If you would, bow your heads, close your eyes. I believe that God is dealing with some hearts this morning. I feel His presence here, and He is moving right now. I also believe there's two different kinds of people in this room. The first person, you're saved, but this morning God spoke to you and revealed some things in your life that you haven't fully given over to Him. And if that's you, here in a moment, we're gonna have a chance just to lay that down at the feet of Jesus and surrender it all to Him. But maybe you're the other person in this room. And the first thing that you need to surrender to Jesus is your life. And just accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And if that's you this morning, I'm going to invite you just to say this prayer with me, either silently or out loud. Say, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me of my sins. Jesus, I believe that you came. I believe that you died, and I believe that you rose up out of that grave for me. And Jesus, I declare you as Lord of my life this morning. And if that's you this morning, I want you to know that you're not alone. Even though the enemy may be filling your head with lies right now that you're alone, but you're not alone. We saw 8 people give their life to Jesus in the first service, and I believe that Jesus is wanting to work some more miracles right now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to count to 3, and whenever I count to 3, I'm going to ask you if you would just raise your hand and say, I prayed that prayer. And we don't want to embarrass you. Every head bowed, every eye is closed. We don't want to embarrass you, but I just want to pray with you. I want to celebrate with you. One, I want you to know that I am proud of you. That takes courage to pray that prayer and to surrender everything that you have over to Jesus. 2, I know the enemy's probably still trying to keep you from lifting your hand, saying, I don't know if that was real. I want you to know it was real. Jesus died for you. It was real. You're not alone. God is proud of you. God loves you. And 3, just lift that hand. Hands everywhere. Come on, keep them lifted. I'm so proud of you. I am so proud of you. Now for the other people in the room, for all of us. Maybe you've been holding on to something that you don't need to hold on to anymore. And you don't want to handle by yourself any longer. And you want to lay it at the feet of Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm going to trust you with it. God, I know that your plans are greater than my plans. I'm going to trust you with it. And what I'm going to ask you to do in your seat is a white piece of paper. In front of you, there should be a pen. And on that piece of paper, I'm going to ask you if you would, just for a few moments as the worship team plays and sings, just to sit there and ask God just to reveal what you need to turn over to Him. Maybe it's your relationships. Maybe it's the feelings that you have. Maybe you're like me and you have that fear and you need to let that go, or you have that worry and you need to let it go to God. Whatever it may be, no matter how big, no matter how small, lay it at the feet of Jesus this morning. So what we're going to do is just write that on the piece of paper. Once you're done writing it, I want you to crumble it up. Show it has no power over you anymore. And I'm going to ask you, if you would, to bring that paper up to the front of the stage. Because tonight, I'm going to take all the papers from first service, from second service, and I'm going to burn them and turn them into dust and ashes. To show that we have humbled ourselves before God and let God have full control of everything that we have. But before we begin to do that, before we begin to write it down and bring it up to the stage, let's just pray. God, I just thank you so much just for moving. God, thank you so much for sending your son to die for me. I just pray if there's anything that we need to turn over to you, that you will just reveal it to us. Just show us so that you have complete control of our life. In Jesus' name I pray.
Thank you for joining us online today. If while watching this message, you were led to take a next step or made the decision to start following Jesus, we would love to celebrate with you. You can let us know on our website at betterlife.church/next-steps. To stay connected throughout the week, download the Better Life app, available on any major platform. Lastly, if you're interested in supporting what God is doing in this ministry, you can give online at betterlife.church/give now. We're praying that you have a great week, and we hope to see you again soon.